Yeah, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet, airing not live. Quick housekeeping item off the top here. We actually pre-recorded this show on Thursday morning. So if you guys are in the live chat wondering why I am not interacting with you, that is the reason why. I do, however, invite you to argue amongst yourselves in there. Okay, so no sweep last night, but the winning ways did continue on Before You Bet. 2-1 with my NBA bets. John Mettler, 2-1 with his NBA bets as well. So John will be by in about 10 minutes time here. We have four total picks in the association. We got a big time Thursday night football game going down tonight in Baltimore. Looks like a fun one. Lots of great betting opportunities. This game has a high total. Jingles will be by in a matter of seconds. We have five total picks for the Thursday nighter. And of course, Jake Butt will be here at the back end of the show for his weekly appearance. There is a lot to discuss in the world of college football. So yeah, if you guys want to participate in the show, I invite you to do so. Hit up that live chat on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it, on YouTube. What do you like in this game tonight? What do you like this weekend? What do you like in the NBA tonight? What do you like in college football this weekend? Let us know. And like I said, argue amongst yourselves or be friendly amongst yourself. You're a very friendly community we have built here around this show Before You Bet. Okay, enough small talk. Let's get right into it. Thursday night football. Our guy Jingles, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. Jingles, how goes the stack betting?
Stack betting was a losing night last night, but we hit a shot ladder at 3, at 4, at 5 for 7 units total. It was pretty sexy. Like, I was trying to get, there was a guy who came up to the top line playing with Connor Bedard, and I had to message the books to give me a prop. Like, people don't think, like, oh, his market doesn't exist. You can message the books and ask for stuff. They're very happy to give bettors markets that they want. They want you to bet more, obviously. But if you, the lesson is, if you see something out there that's not out there, don't be afraid to jump on the old help chat and ask if they can open a market.
Ooh, very interesting stuff there. Okay, so no hockey on today's show. Don't forget, though, we're hitting at 100% with NHL picks on Before You Bet this season. 2-0. So we're going to keep that going. It might be a while before you see more hockey on the show here. We'll see. Maybe next time there's a late night in the NBA. But this is a big-time Thursday night football game. I feel like we've had a couple really good Thursday night football games this year. A game with a very high total and a spread, Jingles, that I'm a bit surprised by. I don't think it should be this high. So as a result of that, my first bet for this game, I'm going to go with the Bengals here to cover this number coming in at +6. So easy pickings for Joe Burrow versus this Baltimore defense that ranks 28th in yards allowed per pass attempt. The big play will absolutely be there for the Bengals tonight. The Ravens, they're allowing the most pass plays of 20-plus yards in the NFL. So you'll look at this matchup. Cincinnati plays them tight. They've either won or stayed within 6 points in 7 of the last 8 games between these teams. Given the flaws on defense for Baltimore, I think that the Bengals will at least be able to play catch up with them, or maybe even pull off the outright upset here. You look at what happened when these teams played a month ago. Joe Burrow, 392 pass yards. And that's a game where the Bengals really should have won that game. They led by 10 points in the fourth quarter. They did, of course, end up losing in overtime. And Baltimore, they're not good here as a favorite of this size. Look at them. Their last 20 games as a favorite of 6 or more points, they are 5-14-1 against the spread. We know the Bengals have a reputation of maybe playing up to the competition a little bit. You don't want to back the Bengals if the New England Patriots or Tennessee Titans are coming to town. But when they're on the road as an underdog, I think it's a really good spot to back them here. +6, my favorite bet for the game here. 2 more props coming up for me, but let's go to you for an under-the-radar spot. One of the newest Ravens, Deontay Johnson. What are we looking at for him?
Yeah, hat tip to Derek Hardy. This is a blitz release too, but the number's still there. Deontay Johnson under 1.5 receptions, +155. Now, debut, Zero targets, six routes last week. Okay, maybe he's going to get some more work the more he's in. Guess what? This was an offense that ran three wide receiver sets at just 11%. There's not a lot of room in this offense for him to get in there. Right now, you got Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman as wide receiver one and two. And Zay Flowers didn't even have a very big snap share, route share last week. I think it was around 65% snap share. So Diontae Johnson, A, isn't a very good receiver. Let's be honest. Do you know what they got for him? They traded him at an early six for a late fifth. That's basically free. He's not that great of a guy. He's not that great of a receiver. He's more of a volume receiver. He's not a receiver who's going to pick up an offense quickly. So this is a spot where I wanted Rashad Bateman over 2.5 receptions, but that number moved. And as usual, the overs will move before the unders. So we're going to take this plus 155 and just hope Diontae Johnson stays off the field.
Diontae Johnson, not that great of a guy, according to Jingles. I like that part of your analysis to throw that in there.
Learning a book. Like if you're a solidified, bona fide professional and a team wants you, good. You could probably, if you wanted to, pick up an offense quickly, right? But if you're Jermaine Burton, who sleeps in and shows up in pajama pants like the Cincinnati rookie receiver, like these are questions that are about people's professionalism and character. And when you give a guy away for free like Diontae Johnson, it kind of shows you who he is.
Yeah, good point there for sure. Okay, back to me. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson to go over his rushing yard total set at 49.5. I think this is too low. He likes to run against the Bengals, so he has crossed this number of 49.5 rushing yards in 9 of his last 10 games against the Bengals. So these teams played back in week 5. His rushing yard total was set at 60.5 yards. Now it's down 10 yards from week 5. What's changed? Not a whole lot. You might be able to look at last week. He only ran for 4 yards on 3 attempts in a blowout win over the Broncos. So maybe getting a little help there due to some recency bias, perhaps. And to bring it all together, this is absolutely beautiful. The Cincinnati Bengals have allowed the most rushing yards to quarterbacks this season. Lamar did go for 55 against them in that week 5 game. So I do expect him to reach 50 yards here tonight on Thursday Night Football. Okay, Jingles, one of Lamar's top targets, Zay Flowers. You expect him to be involved here tonight.
Yeah, this one's a little square, but the number's good here. And I don't think what's being priced in enough is the recent usage in which he has in more intermediate routes. So he's gone 100 yards in 4 of his last 5. 127 versus a good Denver defense, 115 Cleveland, 132 versus improving Washington defense, and 111 versus this Cincinnati defense 5 games ago. And his rec total was as high as 60 and 58 in 2 of those 5 games previously. So there hasn't been a really big adjustment on his total. What we're seeing, so over his first 3 games, 6.9 yards, average depth of target, 1.7 yards per route run. Todd Monken has unlocked him. He's running deeper routes now over his last 5, over those games where he's averaging almost 100 yards. We got 11.4 average depth of target and 3.3 yards per route run. He's getting used more in the intermediate routes, like I said. 16 of 20 from 10 or 19 yards this year. He was 13 of 19 at all last year. So there's a lot to like. I wanted his longest over 21.5, which is also hit in 4 of his last 5. But I think this is a spot where both of them are going to hit within this. And I really think the Diontae Johnson thing is being priced in too much. Like, he's going to have a big role, but we haven't seen anything because we're seeing with Bateman's number. And I think we're seeing it with Zay Flowers, who didn't have huge numbers last week in terms of route share and snap share, but his efficiency was off the chart.
Okay, I will bring it home for us here. The final pick for the Thursday Night Football section of the show. I'm going to go and show a little bit of support for former Miami Dolphin Mike Gesicki. Over 50.5 receiving yards for him. He's become a big part of this offense here lately. And one of the reasons I really like him is because the Ravens are getting absolutely cooked by the tight end position this season. They are allowing the 3rd most yards to tight ends, 67.5 per game to be exact. Gesicki, a big part of this offense in the absence of T. Higgins, who's expected to miss the game tonight. Gesicki averaging 70.5 yards per game when Higgins doesn't play. He was targeted 14 times in the last 2 games, and he's got a ton of momentum going, coming off a great game, probably the best game of his career. He had 100 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. And I do expect him to be, once again, very heavily involved against his bad pass defense, other Ravens. So let's go. Mike Gesicki. Okay, Jingles, before you get going, still a lot to do here this week. Tell the people what you got going on here at Covers.
I'm actually just looking at Derrick Henry's rushing log, because I was on the fence about another play. I'm probably going to add another play. It's not, we won't have a graphic for it, but I'll put it up on X. And that's just Derrick Henry over 19 and a half rushing yards, longest rush. I was listening to 1050 TSN this morning. They were talking about it. He's gone over this in every game except the opener versus Kansas City. He has more rushes this year through 9 games of 20 plus than last year combined. I just think that's a good piece there. So I'm probably going to add that over 19 and a half. And you alluded it greatly. Cincinnati, tight ends, could have a big game. Don't forget about Drew Sample. Because Eric Aull, the rookie's out. Drew Sample doesn't have any markets. He's plus 700 for a TD. But hopefully we get some yards on him. He had 4 catches, I believe, last week. I'm gonna wait for something around there. Around. Hopefully he can get it sub 20 yards. And I'm going to jump on that when the market opens.
Yes, sir. Okay, buddy. Yeah. Lots to like here in this game. Game with a high total, lots of big-time playmakers. Yeah. So, Jingles, we'll leave it at that, but you're going to be right back with us tomorrow, the Mega Football Friday edition of the show, all of our best bets for the NFL Sunday game, so we will catch you then.
All right, bud. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. Okay, let us now shift gears over to the NBA. Then we'll shift over to college football with Jake Butt. And when we're talking NBA, we are talking it with the Magic Ass Man. Let's bring in our guy, John Mettler. Johnny, what's up, buddy?
Good. We got a weird slate tonight. Only 3 games, ton of injuries. Utah Jazz, Milwaukee Bucks, they haven't really even thrown up the props yet because Giannis and Markkanen are both kind of questionable. So
yeah,
we'll navigate it. We'll navigate it for some props. So
indeed. Okay. So yeah, both off to a pretty good start this season in the NBA. We each went 2-1 last night after sweeping the previous night. So we're going to try to keep that going here. I will get us started. I'm on a couple totals per usual. We got the T-Wolves and Bulls getting after it in Chicago. And I'm going to go under on this total of 227.5. A lot of ammo to support a lower scoring game. So this is the highest total for a T-Wolves game this season. That's kind of interesting because they're playing a Bulls team that ranks 28th in offensive rating. So far, you look at the Bulls game logs. Yeah, they've had some good offensive performances versus bad defenses, but they've also scored 102 or less on 3 occasions versus teams that I would consider to be good defensive teams. And I do consider the T-Wolves to be a good defensive team. One thing that these two teams have in common, they are fantastic at defending the perimeter. They are tied for 3rd in the NBA in opponent 3-point percentage. And the T-Wolves, they're a really good under team when you have a high total here for a couple of reasons. They're sloppy with the basketball, 26 in turnover percentage. That often leads to a lot of dead possessions. And they're in no rush to zip up and down that court and get shots up. They rank dead last in shot attempts per game. So I think this total is too high. I will go under 227.5. First prop for you, Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, Jaden McDaniels over 1.5 assists. This is our 3rd time playing this in a short span here in the NBA season. Definitely didn't anticipate that, but he keeps running into situations where, you know, Jaden McDaniels is very important to this Wolves roster, and he's not really being priced at it because there's multiple games where he's been in foul trouble, which has decreased his minutes. You know, the Wolves have blown some people out, which also just pulls him from the 4th quarter, so he doesn't play. So this prop keeps getting priced like he's someone who plays 23, 24 minutes, and that's just not the role. So like when you look at this for his assist prop tonight, we have a massive edge on this if he plays, the projection is like 28 minutes. But to me, that's his floor. That's not, you know, he can easily get up into the mid-30s. And then your edge just explodes. So the fact that we have a big edge on this when he's only projected for 28 minutes, that really draws your attention to it. And it is why I keep coming back to this. I do think he's an improved offensive player this year. And the other thing you do like, you know, you're talking about them guarding the 3-point line. He is someone who can put the ball in the deck. He should be able to do it against this Bulls defense. And once he gets in the lane, it's Nikola Vucevic protecting the rim. He can just dump to Gobert or a cutter to Anthony Edwards, and those can get finished around the rim. So specifically against the Bulls, like the basketball side of thing is also there. So I love this number. This is the third time we're playing it. He's cashed it twice at two big plus money props. Hopefully you can do it third time.
Okay, next up, I think a marriage made in under heaven with the Spurs in Portland to take on the Blazers. Yeah, it's kind of a lowish number, I guess, but I think it's too high. I'm going to go under 217.5 for this one. Both of these teams going under this mark with regularity. Portland has gone under this in 4 of its last 5. Spurs have gone under this in 6 of their last 7. I think the potential for a severe bricklaying contest here tonight in Portland. These offenses rank 25th and 27th in offensive rating, 25th and 30th in points per game. Spurs dead last in the NBA in scoring. Pretty good on the defensive end, though, to be fair, to open the season for San Antonio. And Spurs, once again, they profile as an under team. 24th in pace, 28th in shot attempts. There are no rush to get up and down the court. Also 27th in turnover percentage. They don't get to the free throw line a lot. So I think a pretty good case for the under there tonight. In Portland, you have a bet for this game as well. Jeremy Grant, what do you like for him? A lot of eyes on Spurs Blazers tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can get bricks, but hopefully our guy isn't shooting bricks. So this is the BYB points exclusive prop here. Mikal Bridges didn't cash this for us yesterday, but I'm going Jeremy Grant over 17.5 points. So there are kind of question marks with the Blazers. There's question marks for almost every team playing tonight. Shaedon Sharpe could be back for the Trailblazers, but that won't affect Jeremy Grant. So that's also why I'm more focusing on Jeremy Grant here. Grant, you know, how he scores, he's shooting a ton of three-pointers this year. He usually shoots about 5 per game. He's up to 8, and that's something that's going to be there, and there's going to be kickouts because when you're driving the lane against Wembanyama, he's the best shot blocker in the league. So that gets kicked out to Jeremy Grant. Those three-pointers should be there. The one thing that really, really drew me to this is that you've seen in previous matchups against the Spurs, they love like the Scoot Henderson, DeAndre Ayton, pick and roll. Ayton gets a lot of mid-range jumpers. They move away from that against the Spurs because Wembanyama's on Ayton. You'll probably see Jeremy Grant as the screener in the pick and roll or as the ball handler in the pick and roll, and they'll be running it away from Wembanyama. So I just think his usage will be higher because of the matchup against the Spurs. And at 17.5 here, I think you have an edge to play the over.
Okay, John, before you go, a lot of surprises so far in the NBA this season. Really disappointing start for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's one that we've discussed. But something on the positive end, and it kind of feels kind of weird to be saying this, but the Golden State Warriors, they're off to a fantastic start here, 7-1 on the season. Really good on the defensive end. They really shut down the Celtics last night. I was dead wrong with that analysis last night, taking the Celtics to go over their team total. So 7-1 on the season for the Warriors. Do you think that they can keep this up? And then maybe later in the season, who knows, maybe being a big player at the trade deadline and maybe going on another run here. Is that crazy to think?
I think you said it. I think they got to be a player at the trade deadline. I think it's fun now. It's all the role players are working, but like they have so much depth. I think they do need to kind of push those chips in and maybe take a Kuminga and put them with the draft picks and get another star to put beside Curry. And then you have the role players of Buddy Hield, Trayce Jackson-Davis, you know, Draymond Green to keep it going. But I don't think they can win. They can't win a title with this current roster. It's working in the regular season. It looks good right now. I feel like they could probably also kind of hit a wall too with how this, you know, they only have Curry. Curry's the only superstar. So that's hard. That's hard to do in the NBA.
Yeah, a bit of a disappointing performance there by the Celtics. Yeah. I would expect them to bounce back. I'm sure they probably play tomorrow. Might look to target them on the show tomorrow. You'll have to tune in then to catch that. But John's going to be right back with us on tomorrow's episode of this show. So, John, hopefully we're back celebrating another winning night in the NBA. So best of luck with those bets, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, NBA Prop Pick Show, 10:30 a.m.
Check that out. Yes, sir. You can watch a replay of that as well. Okay, we are moving right along here. A lot to discuss. Such a busy time in the sports world and a lot to talk about in college football. So let's bring in our guy for his weekly appearance here every Thursday. Our guy, former Michigan Wolverine, Jake Butt. Jake, how are we making out?
Making out great, Joe. Can't believe it. We're in November. It's championship season. Just saw the college football playoff bracket come out early this week. So it's in the air, baby. It's championship season. Can't wait.
Yeah, so sometimes when you bring people in to do these media spots, these interviews, you really have to put a lot of thought into what you're going to ask them. Not a lot of thought needs to go into this segment here this week. There's a lot of meat on the bone. There's a lot to discuss in college football. So, of course, the playoff rankings came out. We got to get your opinion. What did they get right? What did they get wrong? What would you change?
I think generally they got a lot right, and I think they did a good job. I remember last year when they initially came out, the big question was Michigan had a soft schedule. So some people thought they should be ranked number one. Some thought because of the schedule, maybe they should be ranked lower. Well, Michigan was, the initial rankings was ranked in the three spot. That was the same conversation for Indiana this year, where they've dominated opponents, they're undefeated, but their strength of schedule just isn't high. So the question was, where were they going to be ranked? And I believe the committee got it right. Aside from the fact, if I could make one change here, I think they should switch with Penn State. Because you look at Penn State after a disappointing loss last week to the Buckeyes, what's really their strong win? An Illinois team that just got beat by Minnesota. Penn State, yes, they've handled business, but they haven't played anyone. Indiana has more than handled business. They've dominated. But I guess that's the fun piece of this time of year, Joe, is it's all going to be revealed as the season goes on. Another conversation was about BYU, an undefeated team. But they haven't looked pretty. I don't watch their film and say that's a team that can really win a national championship. Probably the same for Miami. Their best win is over Louisville. They've tried to give a number of games away. Of course, winning, we're in the business of winning, and both BYU, Miami, really Indiana have all handled business in that category.
Indeed. Okay, so when we get to this point of the season in any league, the stretch run, if you want to call it that, I think it can be pretty easy to pinpoint, okay, what teams actually have a realistic shot at winning the whole damn thing? There's usually a handful of teams in every league, so I got to ask you, which teams, how many have a realistic shot at actually winning the national championship?
That's a really great question. I remember, you know, in some of our earlier shows, I felt very strong that the national champion was going to be either Ohio State, Georgia, or Texas. And what has happened since then? We've seen Ohio State lose to Oregon. We've seen Georgia look completely shaky, but they also dominated Texas. So I do think there's more parity in college football than ever. Here's the hot take. The 12-team playoff is going to allow four teams from the ACC and the Big 12 and the Group of Five. The national champion is going to come from the Big 10 Conference or the SEC. In the Big 10, I believe really only Ohio State and Oregon can win the national title just from a talent standpoint. When you look at the national champions, there's a minimum level of talent you have to have. In the SEC, I think Georgia's defense can carry them. Concerned about Carson Beck. Texas, I still like them, though I look back at their schedule and say, I don't know if I really trust them. Alabama, Tennessee, and really that's, I think it's going to come from that group right there. I don't believe Notre Dame can win the national championship, especially how they've been decimated with injuries. So I think it's going to come, for all the parity, it's going to come from a familiar big branded team.
Okay, let's talk Colorado Buffaloes. We're going to be talking them shortly as well for your best bet of the week in college football. But we have the Buffaloes now. They're plus 200 to get into the playoff. They're, of course, not a top 12 team right now. But there is an opportunity. Maybe they run the table. You could call them a bit of a bubble team. There's always bubble teams to get into this thing, whether it's the old system or this one. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, there's politics at play here. This is a team that would do a big rating here. Would their popularity give them an unfair advantage over other teams that might be on the bubble here when we get down to selecting the final 12 teams?
Yes. I know some may not like that, but yes, that's the way the world works. And look no further than last year, where sure, Florida State is a popular team. They were deserving of getting into the playoff. But the committee basically revealed their hand, where their part of their job is to schedule good games and to get good matchups. So Florida State, though more deserving than Alabama, the committee looked at it and said, Bama versus Michigan, man, that's going to smash ratings. Let's get them in there. So I do believe the same is true. But Colorado, I mean, if they win out and say they get to the Big 12 title game and win that, they're looking likely at a first round bye. Like they have a chance to get a first round bye and certainly a guaranteed playoff spot. So for Colorado, the mindset starting with their matchup this weekend is now they really kind of control their own destiny in that sense, where if they continue to win, they'll give themselves a chance to win the conference, which would get them in anyways. But if they continue to win, think about the hype train of a two-loss Colorado team. It'll be hard for me to imagine a world where the committee doesn't include them.
Okay, we got a lot of big games here, a lot of big stakes in college football here this weekend, so we got to get your analysis. Let's start with this Georgia-Ole Miss game. I'm kind of surprised Georgia only favored by 2.5, a total of 54.5. Georgia not a good bet here recently, though, Jake. 1-6 ATS over their last seven. Ole Miss trying to keep its playoff hopes alive. They're plus 120 to get in. How do you break this one down?
Yeah, you know, well, there's – I'm surprised maybe that's how much Georgia's favored by, but I also think Ole Miss is underrated, and I think this is a really critical game to find out really what the truth is for both teams. Earlier in the year, you asked me, hey, what are the best NFL prospects at quarterback? And I looked at mock drafts preseason, and Carson Beck was a guy that was slotted as a first-round draft pick. That's not the way he's been playing lately. In his past five games, he's thrown 10 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. He just isn't playing like himself. He's not trusting himself. So the key for Georgia in this game, understanding Carson Beck has struggled. You're going on the road. And you're facing an Ole Miss offense that we know with Lane Kiffin is going to be extremely explosive. They have got to run the football. If they don't run the football, I don't think they win. A fun matchup here, though, is one of the big reasons Georgia dominated Texas the way they did was their pass rush. They have got to get home. Ole Miss, in their two losses, they have effectively the same amount of sacks in those two losses as they do in their seven wins across the whole season. So they got to protect their quarterback, and then explosive plays are going to decide this one as well.
Okay, we got to get your thoughts on your Wolverines in action here. The only thing left for them to do is pretty much play spoiler this season. Let's be fair. They're a big underdog in this one at Indiana, 14.5, total 49.5. This spread opened at 10.5, Jake. It's all the way up 4 points now. Now, they are 19-1 straight up in their last 20 games against Indiana, who remains undefeated on the season. Indiana has also covered the spread in 8 straight games now. So they've been a fantastic bet. Do you think the Wolverines can give them a game here?
Yeah, that's really the ultimate question. And when you look at Indiana on this season, they haven't just been winning. They've been dominating. And I think what's important to remember here for all the bettors is Indiana, as they are winning, they have to overcome their history. I think Kurt Cignetti is ensuring that they don't just win, that they dominate teams to send a message to the committee and to the college football fan bases that Indiana is the truth, because they want to, they only got Ohio State as a chance to be a marquee win on their schedule. They want to send a message that they are a playoff team. Now, this game is interesting for a few reasons. Indiana hasn't played anyone really defensively. They haven't seen a great defense. Nebraska was the best defense they've seen this year and the best defensive line they've seen this year. They dominated. So right now, Indiana, one of the strengths of their offense has been in the trench play. They're top three in the conference in sacks allowed and tackles for loss allowed offensively. They don't go backwards. They're top three in the conference in sacks and tackles for loss defensively. So they don't have negative plays. They create a ton of negative plays. We know that's the strength and identity of Michigan. Their defensive line is as good as it gets in college football. For Indiana to win, the trenches have to continue that storyline and that narrative and protect their quarterback in Curtis Rourke. But Michigan's D-line has a chance to take over the game. They're beat up in the secondary right now. For Michigan to win, they want this to be a low-scoring game, control the clock, and slow the game down. But, man, the Cinderella story that is the Hoosiers, they're more than just a great story. Their film shows that this is a really damn good football team.
Okay, next up, a really fun-looking one. Colorado is favored by 3.5 at Texas Tech, a total on the high end, 62.5. So 6 straight covers for the Buffaloes. Texas Tech, of course, coming off a surprise win over Iowa State. They were a 13.5-point underdog in that game. And this game features your best bet of the week in college football. You like the over here.
Yeah, I mean, this is Big 12 football. This is college football at its best. I mean, these are two high-flying offenses. These are two offenses that can put up points in a hurry. And what a moment in time here, too, for Deion Sanders. What the most polarizing figure in college football, and this game has a chance really to be a season-defining game. If they lose, the playoff hopes are over with. Like that, you can just shut the door. Still a really great team, still has turned around this program. If they win, as you mentioned, against a quality Texas Tech team that's coming off a big win themselves, all of a sudden we really have to start to take Colorado more and more serious. The fun thing here, and I love the prop bets, because right now, Shador Sanders, he's the best quarterback in college football. All the statistics and PFF grades love him. The Texas Tech defense gives up a ton of explosive plays. So I'd be looking at different prop bets. It could be a Heisman-type moment for Travis Hunter as well. I expect a high-flying game, a ton of points, and this may come down to who's got the ball last with the chance to win it.
Okay, maybe the best for last year, Saturday night in prime time. Pretty much a playoff game for these two teams. Alabama favored by 3 over LSU, a total of 58. Bama beat them by 14 last season. LSU coming off a disappointing loss to Texas A&M. Who's getting eliminated here, do you think, Jake? Big game. I can't imagine Alabama not making the playoff.
Right. I mean, in the loser of this game, it's the same thing as Colorado. This is where November is so fun. Like, the loser of this game, playoffs are over with. And Bama fans don't want to hear that it's year one of Kalen DeBoer either. They don't want to hear that Vandy's actually a good team. All they know, their world is binary. It's championships and anything else is a failure. So effectively, their season is riding on this game. Remember last year, Brian Kelly sat up there in the press conference and he said, "Yeah, we probably should have spied Jalen Milroe. Yeah, coach, you think." So that's going to be the key here for Alabama. They have got to be able to run the ball. They have got to stay ahead of the sticks. There's a great stat that really kind of paints the picture of this offense as a whole. They are 132nd. They are in last place of all college teams in third and long situations. In third and short situations, they're top 10. So really what that tells me is, can they run the ball on early downs to stay ahead of the sticks? And can they get Jalen Milroe involved in that run game? LSU, the big issue for them last year was their defense. They went out and got Blake Baker, an upgrade at that position. He's going to have his hands full. I expect him to have a spy on Jalen Milroe. But the other piece of this is home teams. Like, you gotta acknowledge the home teams. Ole Miss is home. Indiana is home. LSU is home in this one. So I like the home teams in a lot of these matchups.
Okay, Jake, we got to get your thoughts on this Thursday night football game tonight. Looks like an absolute banger. Bengals kind of trying, you know, at the midway point of the season, but they still have playoff aspirations. A win for them would go a long way. They're a 6-point underdog in this one. Highest total of the week here, 53 points. Of course, these teams played in a very high-scoring game that went to overtime back in week 5. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, how about the Bengals offense coming to life last week as well, right? I mean, we expected a lot more out of Joe Burrow, but, you know, really last week was more about just the team as a whole. They were able to benefit from good field position. Their defense forced some turnovers and Joe Burrow capitalized. So that's really what this game is about. It's all hands on deck if they want to beat the Ravens. Health is going to be a big factor here. And specifically, the guy to watch for is the Bengals tackle, Orlando Brown. You look at the statistics here, Joe, when he's been out, Joe Burrow has been a completely different player. His yards per attempt dropped by nearly 2 yards. Their yards per rush dropped by nearly a full total yard with or without Orlando Brown. So that's going to be a key thing to watch. Also, Lamar Jackson playing through a little bit of a knee injury right now. I expect a heavy dose with that in mind. Short week, Lamar Jackson a little beat up. I expect a heavy dose of Derrick Henry. Can the Bengals stop that run? If they can, I believe they can win. But this might just be a classic throwback Ravens game with a heavy dose of run to try to slow everything down and make life hard on that Bengals defense.
Okay, let's wrap things up with your best bet of the week in the NFL. And I'm happy to say we are aligned on this one. I have this one earmarked to give out on the show tomorrow, unless the number moves a lot between now and then. But Sunday night football, the buzzsaw that is the Detroit Lions down there in Houston to take on the Texans, who are kind of limping into this one. Total of 49. And you and I both like the under on this one.
Yeah, this is for a few reasons. Part of it is you're kind of selling high right now. Man, does that Lions offense look great, and they can beat you in so many different ways. So initially you might think, hey, let's take the over here. But then you start to dive back into the statistics. This was crazy when I was looking at it. Over the last three seasons, Joe, the under is 14-6 in primetime games. That's for any opponents. But for the Texans specifically, they've hit the under on three straight games. And since last season, the under is 10-0 in Houston home games when the line is above 41.5. So this is we're just following the trend here.
Yeah.
And though the Lions offense has been great, both these defenses have proven to be worthy as well. A number of the advanced statistics love both defenses. So this is a product of kind of saying the Lions, you got to come back down to earth at least a little bit eventually. Feels like the under is a good bet.
Yeah, both defenses pretty good. The Lions defense has been really strong on the road here so far this season. CJ Stroud struggling. They're struggling to protect him. So I could see the Lions getting after him. And that one staying under 49. I think that number is too high.
They like to run the ball too, right? So the game slows down. Like there's less opportunities. The Lions are perfectly comfortable just running the ball and controlling the clock.
Yeah, get that clock moving. Joe Mixon, right. One of the better running backs in the league so far this season. Okay, Jake, we will leave it at that. Thanks again for joining. Best of luck with your bets. Best of luck with your work this weekend, and we'll catch you again next Thursday.
Always good, Joe. Take care, man.
Yes, sir. Okay, that does it for a jam-packed Thursday edition. And before you bet, a lot to discuss today. A lot of sexy games here this week starting tonight on Thursday Night Football. So we'll recap the picks that we gave out off the top. If you missed them, I like the Bengals to make this a game. I do expect them to either win outright or keep it within 6 points. So I'll take them to cover the spread. Going to go Lamar Jackson over his rushing yard total. Hopefully he's not too banged up. Over 49.5 rush yards. Mike Gesicki over 50.5 receiving yards. We have that in there twice. Deontay Johnson under 1.5 receptions for Jingles, a bit of an under the radar play there, at plus 155 odds. And Zay Flowers over 49.5 receiving yards. Okay, so that does it for the show today. Thank you to my three guests for joining me today. Great work by the guys. Thank you to producer Mick for producing a great show today. Thank you to BetMGM, our sponsor. Make sure you check them out for all your sports betting needs. And thank you to all the great viewers who tuned in today. Best of luck with your bets tonight, guys. And we will catch you again tomorrow for the Mega Football Friday edition of Before You Bet. We'll see you then. Woo!